Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
He was harassed a lot, and I'm not sure why, but it was also, he well documented it. And
yeah, starting before he moved,
tells the story. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And that's the intro is great. Not necessarily the intro, but the first time he gets harassed is great. He's just in Philly, and he goes, and there's these two lady cops that are like telling people how to walk, and I don't understand why they're there, and I don't know if he does either. And they tell him, "Oh, you gotta walk down this alley." And he's like, "I'm just trying to go home." And they're like, "No, you can't go this way." And he starts to walk down the alley, and this other cop goes, "Who told you could come down this way?" And he's like, "Those cops over there."
And then they lied and said they didn't. Yeah. And then a citizen said, "No, they're lying. They told him that." And then and the other cop believes the citizen, not the cops.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, which was really weird because the other cop didn't believe Derek J, but he believed the lady standing in front of the building, the private citizen.
Yeah, yeah, humans. Yeah, I don't even know if it was planned as a victimless crime spree, but it kind of turned into one. And thank God everyone's got cameras now. And it has a lot of sources of video too. I mean, it has like, you know, really high def stuff, low def stuff, video, handheld cell phone stuff, surveillance stuff. I don't know how they got their surveillance stuff from the cop shop and all those things, but
I guess they would have had to do a freedom of information request is what I was thinking.
We'll talk about a little bit more and then have Derek call in. We'll speculate about a bunch of stuff and then you can call in.
You can call in and tell us, "No, you're wrong."
Yeah, Ian is the executive producer on it, and the editing, which is really good, is done by I am not awake yet. Bo owns Bo, I think is the name he uses or something like that. Bo owns Bo, maybe. This is the Freedom Fiends. It's a really AM post, just barely drinking coffee edition here. It's our experiment of our first live call-in show. And yes, Nima, I did remember to hit record about 30 seconds into this
Excellent,
whole thing.
Excellent. And you always have to make things a little bit more challenging, I guess, because you're old and you've done easy stuff before, so...
You could just stop it. You always have to make things hard because you're old. Like, okay, like I'm holding up my mouse going, "Okay, here's the mic. Who do I speak into here? What do I do? Okay. Computer, kill Flanders."
Not like that, but you know, doing things normally would be too easy. So you got to make sure we're both tired when we do our first live broadcast.
Yeah, I had really incredibly weird hours the past day or two. I don't even want to go into it. It's...
Your family's been visiting. That all
family's been visiting. Yeah, they're out of town right now. Left me alone with my own devices and cats and internet devices for 2 days. Yeah, I was invited, but I stayed here. So Ian asked me for a blurb for Derek J's victimless crime spree, and I said, "This is an important sociological document. I believe that in 100 years, Derek J's victimless crime spree will be studied the way we currently study footage of the civil rights movement."
Go ahead. I thought you were done.
Well, that's the short blurb, but I give a longer blurb too, because usually it's useful for people to have both, depending on where they want to use them. Then I went on to say, "In a just world, this film would be required viewing in public schools, but required viewing and public schools would not exist in a just world. Yeah. And the state would rather use a live kitten as a silencer on a government gun than show the kids anything true as this film."
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Yeah. As you see in the movie, the government schools do not like Derek J at all. That's one of the last things that happens is he gets a no trespass order from one of the schools.
Yeah.
Like three cops like pull up like in force to his house to deliver him this no trespass order. You know, they don't send it in the mail. It's not like one cop that comes and knocks on his door, you know, trying to be Mr. Friendly.
Well, it's a job program. You know, you got to send as many cops as possible.
I suppose.
But it's an intimidation program.
The movie was a good insight into the way it works over there with the Free Staters in New Hampshire, I think. It was funny how the cops all knew, like, Ian by his first name and, like, talk down to him like they know him and they're sick of his crap.
Yeah. You know, I've always thought that the book You and the Police by Boston Tea Party was the actual playbook for the FSP New Hampshire activism, but I've never heard that stated. But in the movie, you can see it on the bookshelf behind Ademo's head in Ian's office.
Yeah, you sure can. I noticed that too. He's got Gun Bible, Moulin Labe, and You and the Police all there.
And Iron Web by our friend that we've interviewed, Larkin Rose. Iron Web.
Yeah. Iron Web. True dat. And why do you say you think it was the playbook? Just because of how they interact with police?
And the way because everything, they say. Everything. I mean, Boston doesn't do public activism like that, but he does it whenever he's pulled over by cops.
Yeah.
And, you know, hasn't filmed most of it. Or I don't know if he's filmed any of it, or at least he hasn't released any of it. But like everything that he says in that book from 10 or 15 years ago, like that he says to say to cops when they pull you over is in that book, is what a lot of the New Hampshire people do as activism.
Yeah.
I think they just took, you know, Boston's thing and added a camera, really, is what they did.
Yeah. Well, I definitely see some of the influence. And, you know, I bet there's a lot of people there that maybe haven't read the book, but just sort of pick that up, you know, by osmosis, by what the other activists are doing. Like I said, I'm not there, but that's sort of the vibe I probably get.
They also do what Ian does, because Ian's their fearless leader.
One of the things I thought was most intriguing about the movie was watching the cops' reactions. How the cops dealt with these guys. And it was so, I guess, vindicating. Even though the cops sort of win in the end, it was vindicating to see them questioned. Because normally, interactions with police, it's citizens cowering, citizens deferring, submitting, whenever you see things like that. I think the cops get surprised. You know, they were just sort of standing there answering the questions, trying to still, you know, show that they're, I guess, good people, even though they're not. Like, I'm just doing this for your safety, and you know, well, I did this, and sometimes the activist will pin them down so hard, you know, with a question that the cop just doesn't respond, and just you can see the wheels turning in their head, like, what am I
like
doing?
Sometimes they don't realize it. There was a little old lady, like a lollipop lady, you know, the one holding the stop sign in front of the school, who assaulted Derek or whoever was holding the camera, like hit him with the sign and was just like, no, I don't want to be filmed by you. Go away. And they're like, you're on public. It's hard for me to tell because Ian's voice and Derek's voice are very similar. When you can't see him talking, it's hard for me to tell who's talking. I think it was Derek. You know,
a little more laid back and a little
fiend
lower.
Phone.
Not an octave lower, but a little
fiend
bit
phone.
We got a fiend phone here. Hello, fiend. Who's on the air?
Hello. Hey, it's Derek.
Hey, Derek, are your ears burning? We were just talking about you.
Yeah. I was just listening to the show, and, you know, I'm really enjoying your perception of how some of this stuff was going. And, yeah, I wanted to jump in at this point because you were a little confused as who was talking. I was doing the talking when I was...
The lollipop lady hit you with a sign?
Yeah, absolutely.
You ever heard that term, lollipop lady? It's the British name for anybody that holds up a round sign for a living on a stick.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I have never heard that term, no. But I'm a little confused because, of course, I'm hearing feedback on the line, so I guess I should mute what I'm listening to on the station.
Yes.
That's funny because you work on a call-in show where you guys tell people that all day, every day. I guess you don't call in to call-in shows much.
I call into Free Talk Live and I silence it, but I don't know how it's supposed to work on other shows. So
it's the same setup.
Ours is the same.
Ours is just the 99-cent store version of what you have in that incredible studio there.
Okay, well, good. You guys sound great, and Thanks for plugging the movie. It is called Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree.
We're just getting our coffee in us now, man. We're just getting our coffee in now.
Well, that's me too. That's why I'm a little late in calling. I was like, I need to have breakfast first. But yeah, folks can find it over at victimlesscrimespree.com. And yeah, it was basically the year documenting what it's like if you're a regular person who cares about freedom and you go to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. These are some of the things that might happen to you, and if you carry a camera, that is.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Do you carry a gun?
I do, yeah. I carried a gun up until the point where the judge told me that I no longer have the freedom to carry or possess a gun or ammunition. And that was after my second arrest for the possession of marijuana. Because that's so dangerous that I'm no longer allowed to defend myself.
Have you seen our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom?
I've gotten to see clips of it. It's everywhere around New Hampshire. We've got copies awesome. That people give away when people visit over in Keene. So yeah, it's a very popular film.
Don't they hand you a copy when you get arrested there? Isn't that like part of your, you know, you get your toothbrush, your pillow, and your copy of Guns and Weed in the jail?
I wish, man. I thought there was like, you know, I kind of thought jail was going to be a little cozier than it was. People are like, oh yeah, this jail, it's nothing. It's, you know, elementary school or something, where, yeah, that's true. You do play games and you get to relax a lot, not a lot of responsibility, but yeah, no, there weren't like TVs in every room with DVD players and such.
Yeah. Well, local jail is, you know, kindergarten compared to prison. I mean, in local jail, there's generally not someone bench pressing your head, but it's not a vacation. From what I've heard,
well,
I've actually
ways,
never been arrested.
In New Hampshire, it's the opposite, because the prison, the people who had been to prison, who I interacted with at the jail, said that they would prefer to be shipped back to the prison. They got, you know, more food, more freedom, more weight, and in the jail where I was, it's actually a maximum security facility. So, you know, there are three, you know, huge steel doors between you and any other room that you're going to be accessing. So it's really hardcore, the level of security that they have there.
Derek, I want to know a little bit about your interaction while you were in jail with other inmates. I mean, are there inmates there that you got to talk to that maybe weren't activists, that you got to sort of tell about the non-aggression principle and freedom and the fact that, you know, for the most part, the reason you're in a cage is illegitimate. Did you get to interact with people like that?
Yeah, I got to tell folks, you know, like why I was there. They didn't really get it. They kind of like crooked their heads at me like a confused puppy, just like, wait, you did crimes? Like, you filmed them? And I was like, yeah, you know, I believe that what I was doing wasn't wrong. And so, you know, I want to publicize that, you know, smoking a bowl in the park should be no problem. And they were just like, what? Like, you know, you're going to end up in jail. And I'm like, well, yeah, I was hoping that I wouldn't. But so I don't feel like I converted anyone, because they're like, well, look where you ended up. I don't like this. You must not like this. And I'm not going to do anything like that. But in a lot of other ways, I think people did feel not inspired, but at least comforted that what they had done wasn't so bad. You know, there's one guy who I interacted with who was in jail for 13 months for driving on a suspended license, and he felt like a real heel. You know, his girlfriend was out waiting for him, and he just felt like he had really screwed up. And I was trying to tell him, look, man, you haven't done, you haven't hurt anybody, and the real criminals are the people who put you here. And he seemed to have a lot of comfort in that. And he's just one example. There are tons of victimless criminals in these jails, at least 50%.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. I mean, it is real comforting and real empowering. I have family, or actually, you know, family-in-law, who whenever I get a warrant or a ticket for some traffic thing, they're always like, ugh, like I did something wrong, and they try to sit in judgment of me. But I just shake it off now. I totally tell them, hey, I'm not wrong here. The cops are wrong. The system's wrong. And it is very empowering to know that when you do a victimless crime and the cops come at you, you know, old ladies on Facebook will try to tell you that speeding is the same thing as murder, but we know that they're completely wrong and that the cops are the bad guy in most cases.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.
Hey, Derek, are you out of the state for good now? The movie kind of ends with you going on the lam, it looks like.
Well, yeah, I want to self-impose an exile for at least a year. Right now I've got dates and locations lined up for about 6 months.
You can live on the road. I've done that. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah, because there's a lot of exciting activism that doesn't happen in the Shire, as you well know, and I want to go and highlight that. I think people are doing, I don't mean to knock everyone, but look, I'm going to say it, they're doing a crappy job of documenting the activism that's happening. They need to be carrying cameras. They need to be putting this video out there. And if no one's doing it, I'm going to. So excellent. I want to go around and showcase what people are doing. Maybe they're doing it the wrong way, but at least if people can put their stuff online, they can get constructive criticism and maybe do it right the next time. So I'm going to be going down the East Coast, traveling west along the south, trying to follow the nice weather throughout the winter. And then I'll be going up the west coast come this spring.
Are you going to be handing out QR scan codes?
I will now. I saw that you made a pretty cool, Michael made a pretty cool QR code for what is a victimless crime. And that should be really helpful in promoting not just this movie, but there are other QR codes that I would love to be handing out.
Well, there's the Guns and Weed one, too, and the Freedom Fiends one, yeah. I of course, never recommend anyone do anything illegal. You do, but I don't. I think those would do well, like, you know, across the street from high schools, places young people hang out. They all have a, you know, smartphone, or someone in the group does, and they love those, and they're cool, and they're fun.
Well, you may know the history of me and hanging out around high schools. It doesn't work out so well. I've been detained a buntload of time just for handing out literature. So I'll be keeping a safe distance from those places, but maybe I'll fold them up into a paper airplane and throw them in.
Well, you know, but you can always find down the street. You can figure out like where they go for snacks afterwards and just stick them up in the bathroom
where
they
there. Eat lunch at.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. There's always some like Starbucks nearby those schools, and or some kind of soda place that people can pick up their sugary drinks.
Yeah, you know,
they're not banned yet.
They have that thing where, you know, sex offenders can't go within a certain distance of a high school. I could see a future, not too distant future, where activists can't go too near a high school because they might influence young minds with liberty.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely the case. As you saw in the documentary, I didn't show the footage of the high schools where nothing happened. There were plenty of schools that I went to, and the administration was like, "That's fine."
Sure.
Really? Up to the kids.
I would love to see some of that in the DVD extras, because, you know, I understand in filmmaking that conflict is the essence of drama, and your movie has more conflict per square inch than a Bruce Willis film. But it's real. It's not scripted. But I would love to see some of the footage of, you know, I think it would be a good DVD extra of where it went well, just to show people that there's hope and they're not going to get thrown in a cage every time they walk out of their house and try to help somebody like that.
Yeah, it is nice. Of course, this movie is biased towards the conflict end of things, but yeah, for every conflict, there were like 90% of the time where it went off without a hitch, and we just went and distributed literature, and everything's totally fine. The problem is, though, often everything goes fine when there's not a camera around. For some reason, these bureaucrats, they hate cameras, and so yeah. I could be handing out literature one day, but if I do it the next day with a video camera, whoa, watch out. This guy's a terrorist.
Well, you can always interview someone on the scene later. I mean, most great things in history, there wasn't anyone there when it happened, but they still make documentaries about it. You could also reenact it with like hand puppets or claymation or something.
Yeah, that would be a totally different movie with hand puppets.
How did you get the footage? How did you get the security footage from the jail where you're being dragged around? Was that a FOIA request?
You were correct about that. Yeah, that was a FOIA request. I requested a bunch. There were like, again, it's like the 90-10 rule where you make a bunch of FOIA requests and then you get maybe 10% of the stuff that you want back. So there was a bunch of footage, for example, after the dance party where I had been arrested for having a dance party, where I was dancing in the cell for 5 hours, and I wanted to put that in the documentary so badly. It was my most prized footage, and the jail just would not give me the footage. Every time it was a refusal for one reason or another, and then eventually they're just like, look, we don't have it anymore. And yep. That was really frustrating. But yeah, there is footage that came through a Freedom of Information Act request, or in New Hampshire it's called a Right to Know request.
But
that was successful.
Cool.
Derek, I want to know, Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFIENS.com.
I wanted to know, how do you stay so calm in the face these goons attacking you? And how does, I mean, is there like a class when you go to Free State, New Hampshire to just be calm and don't fight back? Because
I couldn't do it, man. I wanted to punch people watching the movie.
Well, yeah, I felt very angry about what was happening to you.
I don't know what you mean. Like, what incident where the woman hits me with the camera? I mean, she's an old lady.
No, where the big burly cops are, like, stepping on your head and knocking you off your bike. And you're like, sir, I don't want you to do that. I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs and swinging, which would probably not be good for me. But, you know, how do you stay so calm?
Well, I see what you're saying.
You should do a deodorant commercial, man. Like, how to stay calm under pressure.
I have a theater background, and so I did a lot of acting, and I also do a lot of work behind the camera. So I'm used to seeing how things play out in the editing room, and I know that people look really bad when they're screaming, no matter if they're in the right or not. You know, they look evil when they're screaming at the top of their lungs. They look like a crazy person. So I always want to look like the good guy at the end, and so I think it's really important to let the other person be the crazy, and I'll be the calm guy. And so it really helps the viewer see what's going on, and like, okay, that cop really just ran into that kid. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't screaming. He wasn't, you know, running away. It was just like, he just ran his car into me, and then he put his baton in my spoke.
The ones who can be unstable, and the one who loses their temper and feels like, well, if I don't get my way, I'm going to throw a fit, and I'm going to throw Derek J to the ground, and I'm going to mace Derek J if he doesn't want to sit in my car voluntarily, and things like that.
Well, yeah, it really does show that the only tool that the police have is violence and threats thereof. A lot of these law enforcers I had had previous interactions with, and so I think they held sort of vendettas against me. I had been kicked out of the Santorum campaign by Officer Moore, and I made him look really bad because, I said I was an actor, and when he was doing things like when he put his hands on me, I would really overreact about how hard I had been pushed. And the Associated Press cameras were watching. You know, that made the Associated Press. It makes Keene police look really bad. And here he is having to go into work the next morning, and all his coworkers have seen him on the news looking like a real thug. And so later on, the only way he knows how to get back to me is to be more of a thug. So, yeah, I think that the police, it's pretty clear they only have one tool, and that is aggression. And all I want to do is show them peace. You know, one clip that I don't think was shown in the documentary, but if you go online, you can see after I was run over by Officer Moore's police cruiser, my activist friends go to his house, and they sing songs of peace. And they say, can we talk to Fenton Moore? Can we ask him some questions? And, you know, of course, they don't get a pleasant response. But I think it's important to always stay peaceful and to have the moral high ground.
Cool.
That's the way that I see, peace winning out in the end.
Cool. I got one more question, and then we got someone else calling in. It's a guy who, well, doesn't matter. We'll introduce him when he comes on. I love the way you did the online premiere for it. You actually, you know, I mean, first of all, how many gigs was the final file that you uploaded to YouTube?
I don't know.
It was many because it took you 12 hours or something. Gigs. You announced it. You said, I'm uploading it now. Should be done by midnight. You know, I mean, I think this thing got more views. It's gotten 2,900 views. It's gotten more views in a couple days then, and I'm not picking on Christina with this, but Christina with Libertopia totally held it close to her chest. I mean, I gave her a bunch of filmmaking advice on it a year ago when she was making it, or more than a year ago, and she won't give me a copy of it. I haven't seen it, man. She's like holding it so tightly to her chest, and you're just like, I'm giving this away. Here it is on YouTube. Here it is on BitTorrent. I think it's been seen by more people in 2 days than Christina's film probably has been in a year and a half. What inspired you to do that? And why? It's the smart thing to do is what I'm saying, and I like that you did it. I don't think you even had a Creative Commons notice. You just said, you know, you didn't do what everyone else did. You're just like, yeah, this is free. Do whatever you want with it. What made you do that?
Well, a lot of it, I have to give credit to Bo Davis, who is the editor, and Ian Freeman, who's the executive producer, who put the money down to help get this thing edited.
What did it cost to do?
Fashion.
What was the budget?
Oh, pennies. I'm not sure that Ian would want me to say. If you want to ask him someday, feel free, but I won't reveal that. But I will say it was nothing. It was really minimal. Bo did this basically as volunteer work. And I think we all did it at releasing this movie because it was as free as it is, because it's a passion of ours. And it wouldn't make sense to charge for it anyway, because all of the videos that you see in the documentary are all online anyway. So people can look these up and watch the movie, basically.
The editing made it a movie, though. I mean, this is a movie. I've seen, you know, 88-minute collections of clips before that are not a movie. This is a fucking movie. It's a documentary. It's a real movie. It works as a piece. It's really good. Bo did a great job.
Well, tells a story, has a beginning, middle, and an end.
Out there.
What's that, Derek?
Yeah, I want to get the message of freedom out there. I want to spread the idea that, hey, people coming together to advance the cause of freedom is a really great idea, and it can be a lot of fun, And there's some danger to it, but I want to encourage people to do that and to start thinking of the police in maybe a new way. A lot of people think that the police would never harass someone for having a dance party or would, would just look the other way if someone's just got a bowl with 0.1 gram of marijuana. But no, that's not what they do. They really crack down on people who want to challenge their authority. It's not about the level of the crime. It's about the intent of the crime where if you challenge their authority, they get upset. And so I wanted to just promote that idea. I just wanted to promote all of the movie. I know that things spread a lot easier when they're free. So, more people are going to be able to watch this thing when it's free. It helped have the publicity of Ian helping to promote this thing on LRN, the Liberty Radio Network, and also on Free Talk Live. I just wanted everyone to see it. So that's why it's out there at victimlesscrimefree.com for free.
Excellent. And we want to have you...
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
Come on the Anarchy Gumbo cast sometime and do a full hour and a half. Would you do that?
Oh, that would be a pleasure.
Okay. I could do it the next week or so. Hopefully you won't be so big by then that I'll have to go through your agent, but you'll still take my call, right?
Oh, of course I'll take your call. And since I'm not in the Shire anymore and I can't do Free Talk Live, I really miss doing radio. So yeah, have me back anytime.
Can you say where you are or is it secret?
What's that?
Can you say where you are or is it secret?
Oh yeah, no, I'm in an underground lair in a beautiful, quaint town called Morristown, New Jersey.
Cool.
It's right outside of Philadelphia, just over the bridge. And, I'm just hiding out here at one of my folks' places. And just being safe until I can get on the road. The Exile Tour, by the way, begins August 18th. It's going to kick off with Lemonade Freedom Day in Washington, D.C., where I'll be documenting civil disobedience who will be vending lemonade like criminals. So that's going to be really exciting. So thanks again for having me on, Michael and Nima, and I hope that you all have a wonderful rest of the day, and thanks for supporting Derek J's Victims Crime Spree.
Thanks, man.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Thanks, Derek.
Word. Worms. Bye.
Peace.
All right. That was awesome. We did an interview first thing in the morning.
It was great.
Pretty neat. I like the internets.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed Silver Dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends Silver Dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says Silver Dime Cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
We got another guy that's going to call in here. Chris Hollandale can call in now. Chris has used a gun in a self-defense scenario.
Ooh.
And we only know one person who's
Fiend
done that.
Phone.
It's Mama Liberty.
Fiend phone.
And we want to
interview Fiend him phone. Fiend.
Is this Chris? Hello? Hello,
hey,
hello. Is this Chris?
Yep, this is me.
Chris, how the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Cool. Do you feel comfortable talking on the air about the time you used a gun in self-defense? We are
scared. Oh, yeah,
we're gun guys. Excellent. So tell us, and then Nima can ask questions. I talked a lot on the last one.
Well, I was living up in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm actually an Alaskan-born resident. When this all went down about 2.5 years ago, I was hanging out in this public park, the city park. Just got off of work. You know, I pulled up, riding my motorcycle, parked it at the entrance to the park. I had called my twin brother a while before. He was down there at this little fishing hole that we frequent quite often. Well, I go down there and I'm hanging out with him, and you know, he's keep pulling up salmon and stuff, and we're just doing what we do any normal day of the week. I think it was a Tuesday. Well, there's this group of kids behind us, a bunch of, I mean, I call them kids, they're all 18, 19, 20 years old. They're all kind of hanging out behind us, talking stories, telling stories about how a friend of theirs, or a couple friends of theirs, had been, you know, beating people up at this park recently. Apparently, the last thing that had happened the week before, there was this 21-year-old kid who was walking home on his 21st birthday, and he's just strolling through the park, and I guess he had been out at the bar, he was drinking, he was quite intoxicated. Well,
yeah,
he's walking through the park where all this group of people tend to hang out, and they stopped him. He had like a little bottle of sake on him, and he's nice, he's drunk, he's, hey guys, how's it going, yada yada yada. And they end up, you know, drinking some of his bottle of sake. After about 15 minutes, the guy tries to leave, tries to go home, and I guess he shoulder bumps one of these guys, you know, just kind of stumbling. He ain't really got his feet underneath him. Well, the guy proceeds to grab the sake bottle out of his hand, pummels the back of his head and his face in with his bottle, I mean, beats him half to death. And, well, this group of kids that's there, well, me and my brother, they think it's a, you know, really cool story, really cool thing that happened. Well, I'm sitting here listening to them, and I lost it. I mean, there's no excuse for it. So I stood up, and I pointed at every single one of them, and I told them, your parents didn't beat you enough as a child. This is ridiculous. I mean, to think that something like that's cool or awesome or yada, 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 you ain't got any morals. Well, apparently, one of these guys didn't like all that. Made a phone call to the guy who actually beat that kid up, told him that there was this guy down here, me, you know, he's talking smacky. Oh, you know, this guy wants to beat you up and blah, 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 blah. Well, I end up walking home. When I start walking back to my motorcycle, it's about a block away from my house. I'm walking down that trail, and sure enough, I hear running behind me. Well, I'm on a jogging trail in Alaska. It's very normal to hear, you know, footsteps running behind you. Well, I don't think anything of it. All of a sudden, pow, loud thud, I'm seeing stars, and I'm sure that I just got kicked by a moose, which is quite normal up in Alaska, and it's actually one of the number one reasons why I always carry a firearm. Well, in Alaska, you do not need a concealed weapons permit to carry concealed. If you can legally own a firearm, you can just carry concealed, open carry. They are, you know, an unbelievable gold star state. Well,
what state is this?
Sure,
I'm sorry, what state?
Alaska.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
It's like Wyoming. People in Wyoming go to Alaska when they think Wyoming is too pussy. Seriously, a lot of people here own property there and, you know, go there in the summer.
Yep.
So yeah, basically, you got sucker punched.
You don't even
punched.
Have to have a sheet of paper to sell a person a gun out there.
What's that?
You don't even need a sheet of paper. You don't even need to know the person you're selling a gun to.
In Wyoming or Alaska?
This is in Alaska.
Same in Wyoming. I buy guns at yard sales here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can meet a guy in a parking lot, and it doesn't matter who he is. You don't need an ID. As long as he's old enough, cut it off, sell him a gun.
But you guys work. You guys can smoke weed. They'll give you the electric chair for that in Wyoming, practically.
Yeah, the cops up there really don't even care about that kind of stuff. I mean, you could get pulled over and have an ounce on you, and they just don't care.
Nice.
It's very common up in Alaska.
So what was the I had to step out to the front door for a minute. I don't know if you covered this or not. What was the I'm sorry. Did you finish the self-defense part of it?
You stopped him right at the good part.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what had happened was I thought I got kicked in the back of the head by a moose. Well, it turns out, I mean, it was these guys behind me. One of them had a Louisville Slugger baseball bat. Well, I take three steps forward, and I'm seeing stars, and all of a sudden tunnel vision goes in, and my vision just starts closing off. But as I take those three steps, I take my right hand, put it on the sidearm, which is hidden underneath my motorcycle jacket, and I'm trying to undo the damn snap. And I cannot do it. I take the third step, and I just kind of fall forward and almost black out, pass out. Well, I'm laying there on my back, and my head, back of my head, playing against the concrete. Well, apparently this guy stood above me, a leg on either side of my body, raised the Louisville Slugger above his head like an axe, swung down right in my face, broke my face in 39 places, 39 broken bones, shattered my upper jaw, lower jaw, nose, sinus cavity, the orbital floor that holds my eye. My eyeball fell partially out of my head, broke my temple. And that impact actually woke me up. The first one knocked me out. The second swing woke me clean awake. I ended up sitting up. I ripped the actual strap off of my holster, just adrenaline, tore it completely off, sat up. He was raising the bat up again to hit me in the face a third time. I stuck it in his belly and blew a hole in with a .44 Magnum 310 grain Alaska backpacker round. Made for Big Bear.
What happened to him?
His guts flew all over the place. It was with a snub nose 44, which sounded like a pipe bomb going off. So the other three guys that were standing around me, that were, I guess, kicking my body as he's hitting me with a bat. That one round went off, and it was so loud, everybody just ran.
He is that 44 Special or 44 Magnum?
Magnum.
They make a 44 Magnum snubby. Who makes
that's
that?
That's what we use. Moose and bear out there, man. If you don't care.
Oh, it's called the backpacker, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's actually the one I have is the tracker. The backpacker, I believe, is it's got the composite frame with a titanium barrel, and you can't actually fire anything above 240 grains out of it.
Yeah. I have a 357 snubby, and it breaks my hand to fire it. So enough about rounds. I want to hear more about, you know, everyone sits on gun blogs all day and argues rounds back and forth, but they've never actually used them. You've actually used them. I'm more interested in that. So I'm not going to hijack my own thread with you here. So what happened? So the one guy's lying on the ground, the other guy's split. Did they try to come back, or did they just disappear, left their friend for whatever?
The guy that I shot, he ended up, I saw him grab his belly. I mean, he's pouring blood and guts all over me. He turned away, and I think he took about three steps before he fell over. His three friends left him for dead.
Good friends.
After I saw them take off and after I saw him fall over, and I wanted to know that I hit him. I mean, poof. I felt his stomach and stuff, but I wanted to know I didn't just graze him. Well, he fell over, and that's when I just kind of laid back on the concrete and relaxed. I ended up, kind of in a delusional state, almost went unconscious. But the thing is my twin brother, who I was down there fishing with at the beginning of this story, he had, instead of walking down with me to where my motorcycle was and back down toward the house, he actually decided to go up the trail to go to this store right up the other end of the park. He wanted to go buy a pack of cigarettes. Well, he's walking back down the trail and finds me. Apparently the guy I shot, he had disappeared. I was told later by the police that two of the friends that had disappeared actually, you know, they took off, and after about 5-10 minutes, they talked about it. They came back in the woods, found him, grabbed him, and put him in a car. By that time, there was already cops covered in the entire area. So they actually stopped them, found him, got him in an ambulance and whatnot. My twin brother actually ended up finding me stumbling around. I guess I was walking around holding the back of my skull together and holding my eyeball in my head. He put an arm around me, walked me out to the parking lot where my motorcycle was, and we were met by, I want to say, 11 squad cars.
Whoa. The SWAT team.
It was that insane. I mean, I guess that gun was so loud. And this park is dead. I mean, it is smack dab in the middle of Anchorage, Alaska, in a neighborhood. And I mean, a gun like that, 320 grain rounds, they make a really, really loud bang. I mean, it's actually louder than 12 gauge. So I guess every person out there had called every cop in the area and yada, 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 saying a bomb went off. So 12 cops show up. 12 cop cars. There must have been 20 officers. They all, guns drawn, get down on the ground, yada, yada, yada. They just did their job, and they actually did their job pretty well. I'm kind of surprised and thankful for that. But, they got me an ambulance, got me shipped out of there. Once they, of course, they had me handcuffed to a gurney and yada, 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 treating me like a perp because I was the guy who shot somebody else and whatever. Finally, they ended up doing a CAT scan, realizing that my entire face was shattered, and also realizing that, it doesn't exactly work in reverse order. I mean, I can't just, walk up and shoot you, and then they happen to have a Louisville slugger and beat me over the face and self-defense.
Did any of the guys try to lie about what happened?
They tried a little bit, but...
They all had different stories, probably, huh? Yeah.
Well, they all had criminal records.
How long did the cops assume you were the criminal? How long did they... keep you in handcuffs?
And did they arrest you? Were you arrested?
I was not arrested, but I was detained. There was three officers that sat with me and outside my outside my room in the ER for about 4 hours. Once the results came back from the CAT scan and they realized that I was telling the truth, that I got smashed in the friggin' head, then they're like, okay, handcuffs off. Have a nice night.
Did you get a lawyer? Did you need a lawyer?
The problem
it sounds like there weren't any charges or anything.
So I'm actually in the process right now. The Anchorage Police Department just finalized putting together the entire report now. This is 3 years later. It actually took me a year to get my gun back.
Wow.
They never
a year to get your gun back?
A year to get my gun back.
They all wanted to go out and try it and play with it because it's so cool, the gun, man.
That's one of the things I always worry about when I think of a self-defense situation in my head is I always worry that the cops are going to come and take my gun away. And then I won't have a gun for, however long it takes me to buy a new one.
That's why you need to have more guns everywhere.
That was the one handgun that I had happened to have at the time because, I always carry one. I had a bunch more. I sold a bunch. So at the time, that was the only handgun I had actually owned.
Would you be dead if you hadn't had that gun with you, you think? Or in a coma, probably?
Definitely. They were raising that bat. I mean, a second hit to what was already mashed potatoes, instead of just breaking bones, they would have squished my brain. I would not be walking around today.
Do you have permanent damage from that?
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch of titanium plates in my face. I can stick magnets to my head. That's kind of a running joke at the office.
Did you have health insurance or end up in debt, or did they have to pay your medical bills? What happened?
I had amazing health insurance. I was actually a network administrator for the Alaska Division of the Salvation Army.
Yay!
I had really great health insurance.
Private industry health insurance.
They only paid so much. I am still, I want to say, $24,000 in debt because of this. Health insurance.
So did this guy get charged with anything? The guy that hit you with the bat, was he charged with assault? Is he going to be accountable in any way to pay for your medical bills, or what happened to him?
Here's the funny thing about lawsuits. In criminal stuff, there has to be a conviction generally to assume you're going to win.
In Alaska or everywhere?
Yeah, this is everywhere. If you want to win in a civil lawsuit, generally there has to be a criminal conviction made that shows guilt. You can actually, I mean, you can try and take them, you know, into a civil lawsuit, but the odds of you winning are slim to none. This is what I was told by many different attorneys. Well, the the prosecuting office up in Anchorage, Alaska, they passed this case around to six different attorneys, and not one of them wanted to take this to trial. I believe, now they still won't tell me, I believe it's because the guy I shot died, and because he was the only person holding the baseball bat, he was the person, you know, I shot, da-da-da-da. I think that they're trying to make it so he was the only person to get, you know, some kind of real conviction, but the way I say it, the other guys were with him. Screw him. Put them all in jail.
How long did it take him to die, and do you have any regrets about the whole situation?
Well, I'm still not positive if he's dead. I know that he was in ICU 2 weeks after the shooting.
When was the shooting? When was this?
This was about this is almost exactly 3 years ago.
You don't know if he's dead yet?
Summer of 2009. Well, that's the thing. The prosecuting office, the police, they won't tell me anything. They wouldn't even give me real names. I ended up finding out through some rumors and stuff a couple of the names of some guys. But I can't even state the names because there wasn't a criminal conviction.
Do you still carry a gun?
That's ridiculous.
I still carry the gun.
Yay.
The nice. 44 Magnum.
Well, cool, man.
Yeah, after that, I don't think I would even take a crap without having my gun by my side if something like that happened to me. It would be on me, literally.
I sleep with it underneath my head, yeah. Underneath my bed. Not necessarily into the pillow, but in between the mattress, and it is loaded at all times.
Yeah, well, yeah. Even if I was getting lucky, I'd have a belt with the holster on and the gun in it.
That was literally a three-act tale with redemption in the third act, and it made me feel pretty good and reminded me of why we carry guns. We really appreciate having you on here. Do you have any closing arguments, closing statements before we get another caller in?
All the things that are going on in the media right now, I mean, we had this thing, you know, one more shooting in Colorado. I actually lived in Colorado during Columbine, and I lived 40 minutes away. I watched the entire thing live. I know a bunch of the people, you know, that were involved in the stuff, you know, victims and victims' family and everything else. You can't let things like that, you know, God, it's just... It's making the liberals go nuts. They want to just slap on more gun control policy and everything else, but that is not the solution. The video that you posted earlier that just goes and shows normal people in their normal lives saving their own lives from bad people with guns, using their firearms in protection of themselves and their property, that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, you are not supposed to let media just scare everybody into, oh, let's take everybody's guns away. Let's all just turn into California or New York.
And they wouldn't be able to show that that video in high school because they'd call it violent, but they encourage kids in high school to do political action against a gun ownership, which is violence by proxy by the government, and then encouraging violence against people. So...
ridiculous.
F those people.
Gun control doesn't... I mean, I don't understand how people think gun control would work. I mean, this guy had a bat. If there was bat control in that Anchorage town, that wouldn't have kept this guy from beating you in the face with it. If there were signs in the park that said no beating people in the face with a bat, the guy probably wouldn't... It wouldn't have stopped him. He would have still beat you in the head with the bat.
If I'm in a bad mood, a really, really bad mood, and I just feel like going out and killing somebody... I will walk up to you and strangle you or stab you in the face with a spork.
Or run you over with a car, man. Run you over with a car.
Hit somebody with a car. Hit somebody with a bat. Stab them with a damn steak knife. It doesn't matter.
Everyone's driving.
Kill people. People kill people.
Everyone drives to anti-gun rallies in a big, giant weapon.
Yep.
All right, man. We got another guy who's ready to call in. Really appreciate having you on here, man.
Appreciate it.
And love what you guys do.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Check out the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Hi, Nima.
Wow, what a great story.
I know. That was great. And during the end of Derek, I also checked the recording, and it sounds pretty good. You can hear everybody pretty well.
Excellent.
Yeah. So my friend Little Mike's supposed to be calling in. Where's Little Mike? Come on, Little Mike. Yeah. Little Mike's first anarchist.
Do you want to take a little break?
Maybe. I don't know. I say go, 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 go.
Okay. Go, 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 go.
I mean, you got to pee or something? I could recite some lyrics.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm just, we usually take a few breaks and we're just going through and you know, I'm cool with it because every caller has been like excellent so far. It's been a good show. I mean, the only other story I've heard from somebody we know, like you said, is the Mama Liberty. Where do you know if she shot that guy in the face? Was it birdshot? I mean, I
she
feel
shot
like he
over his head as a
she
shot over his head as a warning shot with birdshot at about 25, 30 feet,
okay.
And a few of the pellets went into his face, and he ran off screaming.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the first person I've ever actually talked to who shot someone and killed them, or maybe killed them in self defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other
I
than
mean,
soldiers,
I would feel
who are,
no guilt.
Oh,
about
no.
Something like that. Because
absolutely.
This guy, A, he would have killed him. Apparently, this guy was beating other people up at the park. This guy was eventually going to kill somebody, this guy with the bat. And so I think our caller did a public service, if anything.
Yeah, you're not allowed to look at it that way, though. I mean, that sounds like vigilantism. You're only allowed to look at it as what he did, which was keep the guy from killing him on the spot, keep the guy and his buddy from killing him on the spot. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I'm not saying the guy should have tracked this guy down and attacked him. Obviously not. But the guy initiated it. You know, the guy who got shot in the stomach, he brought that on himself. It's his own fault that he got shot in the stomach. You know, he reaps what he sows. And, you know, it would have been nice if he recovered and lived and changed his ways. But the fact that he doesn't exist anymore, I mean, it's his own fault.
Worms. So we got some notes here. Do we want to, while we wait for little Mike to call in, do we want to address some of our notes? I pointed out that cops are looking more and more like RoboCop, and I'm posting. Did you see the picture I made? That's a picture of some Fed goon or goon cop with a big police shield that actually has a loudspeaker in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And it says this loudspeaker.
That's not Freedom Fiends in the speaker.
Not playing the Freedom Fiends, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, right. I saw that. What do you think the loudspeaker says? Do you think it's like a loop of submit citizen?
Probably not. It's probably
this is the central scrutinizer.
That's what I'd like to think. It's probably a combination of a microphone where he can say disperse, go home, or you will be arrested, and that like pain weapon. You know, the audio pain weapon.
Oh yeah, yeah. I really wonder if that's if. I mean, I guess theoretically it's a speaker, so it could play whatever.
It's probably not, though. The speakers for that are really big. And they're so loud that I think, and that guy didn't have headphones, you know, gun ears on. The people that use that stuff have gun ears on and are behind, he's behind it, but he's also holding it. I think it would cause him pain if he were using it. I like the submit slaves. This is the central scrutinizer. Yeah,
that's what it'll be in the future. Yeah, in the future.
Yeah,
yeah. I did see that, and I was also pretty upset. Oh, speaking on the gun tip of Snoop Dogg's transformation to Snoop Lion and his new song.
It should be
No Guns Allowed.
Should be Lyin. Yeah, he has a song called No Guns Allowed, which I haven't heard the lyrics to because it's not out yet. But he gave some statement about like, yeah, now that I have a kid, I really think there should be no guns allowed, even though I used to carry one every day. And it's like, first of all, when you lived in the hood and needed one for self-defense, you were for them. And now that you are living in the hills, guarded 24/7 by armed guards, you don't think anyone else should have them. Second of all, he said something like, I hate that people are always doing stupid things with guns. And I'm thinking like, what, like being the driver in a drive-by shooting like you were, Snoop? He was, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't blame him for trying to change himself and do this so-called reincarnation, but he completely gets it wrong, at least with the title of his song. Again, we haven't heard the song. And don't YouTube it because some D-bag has put up a bunch of songs that say Snoop Lion, No Guns Allowed, and they're just his really horrible rapping over lame beats.
The user? It's not Snoop Dogg? It's someone uploaded
it's
them?
Somebody else. Yeah, somebody to get more views titled his gay-ass song, Snoop Lion, No Guns Allowed.
There should be a law against that.
No, there shouldn't.
I mean, it's easy to learn the lesson and don't give the guy clicks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're right. Snoop, he probably has big guards with guns guarding his house. So it's not like he's against the idea of guns being used for defense unless he's completely got rid of those. I mean, that might be a question we should try to find out. But
so, Snoop, if you're listening, call in.
It's just – it's almost like he's saying – no self-defense. When you say no guns allowed, I immediately think, what are you against people defending themselves? Why would anybody ever have that idea in their head?
I think the government paid him. I think we should start a rumor that Cass Sunstein co-wrote that song with him secretly.
yeah. And some people we really like, I think, are in on the project. I think it's part of a multimedia thing he's doing with Vice magazine.
Some people we used to like.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard the song yet, but from his little interview lit about it, it sounds like it's anti-gun, not just he's giving up guns.
Yeah. Although, you know, Snoop Dogg kind of flip-flops every now and then. There was a bit when he stopped smoking weed, and he wasn't necessarily coming out saying other people shouldn't smoke weed. But he was like, yeah, I'm done with that. I don't need that anymore. And then I saw him in concert like that same year, and he lit up a big spliff in front of the cops and said, well, what are you going to do about it, cops?
Well, that's why they say in NA and AA, don't tell people you're sober, show them you're sober. Because people are so used to people saying, I quit forever, and then not. Yeah. So you ever been to the Contra Public?
No, but I'd like to go now that I know what it's about.
Did you read that article?
Yes, I did. And I love their motto, we seceded where others failed.
Which is funny because people often confuse those two words.
Succeed with secede.
Yeah. Talk about what the Contra Republic, the Contra Republic is.
It's apparently Key West, Florida. It's a tongue-in-cheek secession of
No,
Key
it
West,
originally
Florida.
Was sort of a secession that failed and got quelled.
Yeah. Although, I mean, they still wish they were seceded, apparently. I guess the federal government came in to try to make – it was supposedly a military exercise that they were doing after these guys sort of declared their secession. The military came by and did a military exercise, kind of like a war games thing. But obviously it didn't feel very good to the people in Key West. So they had a counterattack that involved spraying fire hoses and throwing Cuban bread. Apparently. So, yeah, these guys like to party and have fun, I guess. But I didn't get a real sense of what the real reasons were for them wanting to secede. I mean, I guess to me, I feel like everybody should secede all the time. But did you catch – was there one specific catalyst?
Jimmy Buffett canceled the show. No, I don't know, man.
Yeah, because I didn't see Jimmy Buffett. You'd mentioned Jimmy Buffett.
Well, he's so associated with the Keys, you know. He's like, he's to the Keys what Willie Nelson is to Texas.
Right. Go, go, freedom fiends. Freedom fiends. Helping the helpless. Freedom fiends. Saving the universe. Freedom fiends. Doing the things that I've taken the world from the state. Is Jimmy Buffett from the Keys, or did he just decide to move there and drink
margaritas
all the time?
I think he's lived there so long that it doesn't matter that he was probably born in Brooklyn, in the New York, at Met Stadium in the ladies' room.
Ah, okay, okay. Here's another interesting thing about the Contra Public. Apparently there's like some national park or some government public park there that the government shut down. And the secession movement, you know, because tourism is so important, it's the main economic driver in that area, they gathered up private donations in the amount of money it would take to run the place. And they tried to reopen it. But they couldn't find anybody who would take the money and reopen it. And the government wouldn't do it. So I guess it's a good example of the fact that these guys felt like they shouldn't have their decisions, especially their economic decisions, decided by Washington, D.C., or some state government. And they wanted to do it themselves. But again, the government's not really letting them do that kind of stuff.
There's a picture on my Facebook, if you want to look it at, of our last caller, Chris, after getting hit with the bat. If you want to look at it.
There's a picture of Chris after he got hit with the bat?
Yeah, go to my Facebook.
All right, I'm on your Facebook.
So I want to give out the live call-in number here. We had two like people we told to call in. So if people want to call in, the number is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. And we had a couple announcements. One is we've added a bunch of music by Nima and I together and separately into the Fiend streaming link. And we're trying to get away from advertising. We still have a few advertisers, but we're trying to get more towards donations. So if you want to make a donation of as little as $3 a month or any one-time donation, you can click on the spinning coin anywhere on freedomfiends.com.
Excellent.
You know, I was thinking about someone was taking Adam Kokesh to task for calling cops fat. I think it was Ben Quaker who was doing that. And I was thinking about that. It's like, I'm fat, and being fat isn't what's wrong with cops. Being cops is what's wrong with cops. I wish they were all fat. They'd be easier to outrun.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess, though, when people call cops fat, it's just to insult the cops. I mean, I feel like cops have this image of them being, you know, strong and
yeah,
protect you and,
yeah,
and fit in certain ways. And so I think it's a way to tear down cops. It's sort of psychological warfare. I don't think they're trying to, I don't know. I mean, I don't listen to a lot of Adam Kokesh.
You know,
he's fattest.
I used to call cops fat back when I looked like Adam Kokesh, but you know, anybody who's, you know, everyone gets fat, man. Everyone. Well, not everyone. Nearly everyone.
Not everyone, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
A lot of people that call people fat will get fat, and they'll still call people fat when they're fat because they forget that they're fat.
Here's the thing about fat cops, though, is they got fat on your dollar. Those donuts were paid for with your dollars.
There you go. Okay.
That's my fat. I should be able to grab your belly and rip out a chunk and go home
That's
and
my
put
fat.
It on the frying pan.
Oh, my God. Fry up that piggy.
That's some pork rinds.
We're going to get our door knocked for that one, man. They're talking about cannibalism of police officers. No, we're being figurative.
Yeah,
and cops do keep looking more and more like RoboCop every day.
Yeah.
Part of it's the uniform. I mean, the cops in Idiocracy were fat, but they were gooned out and looked like fat RoboCop.
Yeah. I mean, well, cops have tanks now. I mean, they don't really need to be fit, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about the cop tanks the other day. What was I thinking of? They remind me of the Scoops in the movie Soylent Green. Remember they had those giant armored bulldozers to like scoop up the people in the
streets? That ended up becoming the Soylent Green?
Yeah. Yeah, there were just too many people in the street, and every once in a while they'd just send out armored bulldozers to scoop them up. I mean, I've seen some tanks lately that make like what's the one in New Hampshire called? The what dog?
The bear
raw
cat.
Dog, the raw dog.
No, the bear. It's the bear cat.
It's not the raw dog. Not the raw dog that fucks you with the taxpayer money and without a condom. No lube. Yeah, the bear cat. I mean, there are new tanks coming out that I've seen. Some of them are overseas mostly, but that make bear cats look like tricycles, man. Have you seen some of these new goon tanks?
No.
I mean, they're ones that look like they could withstand explosives. I mean, they're like, you know, they have window. I mean, they look more heavy duty than like Humvees in Afghanistan, like American military Humvees.
Yeah.
God, I wish you'd
send me a link.
I wish you spent all your time on the internet. No, wait, let me find one for you. There's this this site I really like on Facebook called World Riots 24 or 24/7.
Yep, I did take a look at that. Although I mostly looked at the Olympic stuff. I didn't look at more of the historical stuff.
There's pictures of people shooting cops on there and throwing Molotov cocktails. It's wild. We don't encourage that. But there are pictures of, like, police action, like, basically demonstrations all over the world where people are messing with – where the cops are messing with the people, and often the people are messing back.
Yeah, yeah. Like Anaheim?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a picture. That thing is completely expanded. It's
okay,
insane.
Okay, I'll send you a link. Link. The subject line is link. This is in the United States. It's in front of the entrance of Disneyland. It's kind of a dark picture, but if you look at it carefully, look at this vehicle on the left. I mean, it looks, it makes a bear cat look like a tricycle, man.
Huh. Yeah. Actually, no, I think that it's a modified bear cat.
Is it? But it's got a scoop on the top, or a ladder or something.
Yeah, they put like a crane on it. I don't know what that is. It's gigantic, though.
For looking down on you.
Well, that's one of the things about the Bearcat. I mean, the company has been selling to pretty much every little town across the country through Homeland Security grants. So Homeland Security pays for it. It's like those commercials for scooters for the old people. You know, they always say, oh, well, Medicare will pay for it, so you don't even have to worry about money.
Yeah.
That's what the Bearcat is. It's old lady scooters for the state. And they're modular too. So when they sell them, that you can put different attachments on them. Like the one I saw in Washington, it had like this big battering ram on the front that was extendable, like a long arm that could just like punch into a house and like
poison gas.
Yeah, I think they could put gas in it.
That's what it's for.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of the inside of them. They have a button in them that says gas, and you can release tear gas or whatever kind of gas you want.
I walked around on the inside of them. They can also they have their own air system, so they can be completely shut off from the outside. So they bill it as, you know, in some kind of a nuclear attack, we would all be safe. But who did the nuclear
attack?
No,
it's if they – yeah. Yeah, or if it's they want to throw a lot of gas.
Yeah, exactly.
In Derek Jay's movie, there's a scene at the Bearcat hearings in Keene – or in whichever town in New Hampshire that is, where he sit, like, there's text on screen. You can hear like one of the people on the dais whispering to the other, like, "We're gonna get a bear cat."
Yeah, no, we're gonna get a tank. He's so excited. Yeah, like he's a little kid.
Like he's getting wet in his panties.
Yeah. Speaking of little kids, they like pimp these to kids too. In Washington, they had this yearly annual thing where they'd bring in a bunch of big heavy equipment for kids to come look at. You know, a lot of it's sort of private stuff, you know, like bulldozers and John Deere tractors. But they also have a place for the Bearcat where the kids can come in and look. Oh, cool. You know, nobody tells the kids that this was paid for by money stolen from you so that we can point guns at you and not have to worry about, you know, being attacked back so we can be the bullies, you know.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiend show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends' weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.
I really feel like people should do more. There should be more Liberty Media for kids. I was thinking that the other day. You know, part of Stefan Molyneux's strategy and a lot of people's strategy is education. And a lot of folks say it starts with raising a generation up of people who believe in the non-aggression principle. We need to have like a kids show, like Yo Gabba Gabba, but for anarchy.
It would probably be considered terrorism if you made one, you know.
You think?
I really think we're getting to that point. I mean, I saw pictures on that Worldwide 24/7 site of like little girls in Israel writing things on chalk with missiles that were about to be dropped on Palestine. Yep.
I saw that. That was and so like, heartbreaking. You know,
I mean, that would happen in America. They'd probably do that in America. I mean, the soldiers definitely write stuff on the bombs they're going to drop. I imagine there might be a thing where a classroom would get together and make suggestions and send them to the troops of what to write on the bombs, and we have a contest.
Well, they already do stuff like write a letter to a veteran and things like that. What was that image? I forget where I saw it, but there's an image of like a little kid drew, and it says like "Have a good war." So it's like a plane shooting the ground or something.
You know, I forgot to mention, I was talking to my stepdaughter. She was hit by a rubber bullet in L.A. for being at a rave. Ugh. The cops just came into a rave, busted it up, and started shooting people with rubber bullets with no warning.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
I really wonder how much longer. And I guess you and Ben sort of discussed this in...
Oh, it's coming out Saturday.
Your upcoming Anarchy Gun.
Our 100-year plan. Liberty in 100 years, not liberty in your lifetime. But I
feel like a lot of people... A lot of people are getting fed up. I mean, we see this in Anaheim where the neighborhood is pretty much sick of it, and the state is trying to overpower them and keep it from getting out of hand. But I feel like when the state escalates like this, when they send in this giant bear cat that just looks indestructible and scary, I mean, doesn't that make it worse for the state? Doesn't that make more people say, wow, this is wrong. I can't believe I used to think cops were good. I mean... Where's the tipping point? And I guess people have always wondered this, you know, where's that line in the sand? You know, I kind of feel like it's been crossed ages and decades and maybe centuries ago. But I don't know, man. What happens next? Because a lot of people I talk to, they'll agree with me that, yeah, the state's out of control, the government's out of control, cops are out of control, but they don't know what to do about it.
Protest and have the government fix it, I guess they think.
Some people do think that. I mean, the whole Occupy thing. I don't know. What do you tell the average person that's like, yeah, I agree with you, but I just don't want to get in trouble, so I'm going to continue to pay my taxes and, you know, get my car registered?
Well, I do that.
Yeah, I do it
too. What would I tell them? I tell them, listen to the Freedom Fiends. I'm sick of explaining over and over why the roads would still get made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we get sick of explaining it, what happens, man? I mean, what's the next step?
Tune in Saturday to Anarchy Gumbo to hear Ben Quaker tell you what will happen. He knows. Okay. He knows. He has a crystal ball, man. He's a great man. He's a great man, but not in the great...
That's my theory. He's the great man.
Yeah, it's not the great man theory. You know, I had a suggestion for him. I was listening to our interview after we did it, and, you know... I think it's ironic. I had a suggestion for him, and I think he's going to do a whole episode on this, but just the thought, I'll just put it out there. The great man theory, if you don't know, is the idea that like it's like raising people to the level of gods, like the average patriot does with the founding fathers, or like Obama humpers do with Obama, or Ron Paul people do with Ron Paul even. And it's interesting to me, and you can't get rid of the state without getting rid of the great man theory. Yeah. Although Ben says that the next step of the state is going to be like a computer generated president or something, like, you know, like a 1984 Big Brother kind of thing. They're going to eliminate the individuals and just make it a thing. But that's still a great man. You know, Big Brother was a great man to that society, to Airstrip One. And but it's interesting to me that like there are straight up anarchists who just hate the idea of any state, who still have great man ideas and warm fuzzy feelings for, like, you know, Spooner, Mises, Rothbard, people like that. And I like those people. I like reading them. But there are people, anarchists I know, who think that those people are irrefutable, you know, and like say, well, so-and-so said to back up a wrong theory. And those guys were wrong sometimes. They weren't perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess as long as you're praising the things that were right or the works that you like, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with looking back at great men who had great writings, but as long as you don't deify them and as long as you don't put them in control of your life.
I think a lot some anarchists do deify those people though. And Ron Paul, there are probably a million people or more in this country that deify Ron Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Although one question that stuck in my mind when I was listening to Ben's cast about the great man, How does he reckon? I mean, because supposedly you're a Quaker, right? You believe in Jesus and his teachings. How do you reconcile that? Was Jesus a great man, or why is he the exception? I mean, I guess because he's the son of God theologically, but I mean, what if somebody thinks Stalin was the son of God theologically?
I don't know. I told Ben to call in, but he hasn't. He's got better things to do than, you know, I spent an hour yesterday interviewing him and then 2 hours with him on the phone. He's got better things to do somehow than to like spend another hour talking to us today.
Fair enough.
He's probably hanging out with his family or something.
Yeah.
Some anarchist. He has a family. What is that? The great family theory. I'm just pulling his wiener. Ew.
Yeah. All right. Not we got a little too far here.
Not you of his wiener in particular. Which is, and not you of the idea of, you know, man-on-man love, but just the idea of, I don't want to pull on my friend's wiener.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not into beards, man. I'm not into beards. I like younger, I like younger, thinner men, like Derek J. I'd go for him if I were if I lived in New Hampshire and were single and still partying.
Okay, okay. He does have good fashion sense. I appreciated his purple shirts and ties.
He does.
I'm also a fan of wearing purple shirts and ties. So,
yeah, he wouldn't like me. I'm an old slob. Who's calling you? Is that the Central Scrutinizer? I think we've done a full-length cast here. Have we? How long have we been talking? What time did we start? We started at 8 a.m., didn't we? It's been 2 hours.
Yeah, it's been – no, we started at 10 o'clock my time. It's been an hour and 20 minutes, so it's full length. If you want to put a lid on it, I'm down.
Okay. I think we covered everything, man. I think we covered everything. Just remember, we seceded where others failed, the motto of the Conch Republic. We don't recommend secession. Ian Freeman does.
Do.
If you want,
I do.
Okay.
I recommend secession down to the very last. To every individual should be their own autonomous entity.
Because the individual is the biggest minority, smallest minority.
Smallest minority.
So if you're into minority rights, you should be into individual rights.
Exactly.
Ayn Rand, right?
Mm-hmm.
A great man.
A great man.
All right. Worms, man.
Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.